for that, Karina. All right, we'll be in Acts chapter number 9. And again, thank you for being with us here this morning. And I know it's a little bit late. I won't be as long. I'll talk fast if you will listen fast. And one thing you can't compete with is lunch, but we will try. We could talk forever about the history of our church, and I think we've done that already. And you see all the things. As I saw the videos, there's one thing that I really, really, that really, really struck me. How much I miss my hair. Just what happened? It's like, man, I see some of these little kids around here, and it's like, I wish I had 10% of that. I'd take care of it at least. But I couldn't think of anything spiritual. I just said, man, my hair, I just wish I had that back. So, but as I look at our church and many, many things, if I wanted to boil it down and bring it to a simple concept in the short amount of time that we do have this morning, I would say that it's an emphasis on the grace of God. Yeah, what God can do in our lives. Yeah. I believe God has brought us to this place and blessed us because we have always put or tried to put serving him and reaching others as the priority. We have not always had the facilities that we wish we could have. But we've never, ever sat back and thought, well, you know, we'll do something later when we have the proper facility. We've never done that. We've always just like, it doesn't matter the facility. We're going to go 100% full throttle and God will figure it out when we get there. And it's always been a tremendous thing. But what is grace? Grace is such a simple word, and yet it is loaded with truth and transformation. When we think about the grace of God, of course, we think about the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. But it is so much more than that. Yeah. It encompasses the life we live after we are saved. It encompasses what God did to reach us before we were saved. By the way, I like simplicity. I don't like when things are complicated. I don't like when somebody could take something simple and complicate it. How many know what I'm talking about? I like to read. You know what I don't like? Some people that authors, they write their books and the way they lay it out, it's like, that's just too complicated. Okay, let's make things simple. That's why in our church we use simple give. I just like simple. Make it easy. By the way, in this modern form of Christianity, and I won't go off on it today, I will go off another time. In this modern form of Christianity, we totally do not comprehend grace. We have so messed it up. Grace is a wonderful concept. I'm going to look at it very simply. The testimony of our church throughout the years is the testimony of grace. And it is so simple. And we're going to see it in the life of Paul. You could preach on Acts chapter 9 all the time. It is just such a wonderful thing. Acts chapter 9 is the amazing story of Saul, or Paul, and how he met the Lord, Jesus Christ. This is probably one of the biggest events in the history of the church. Paul, or Saul as he was then, is going to meet Jesus Christ, and everything will be changed. His conversion is mentioned in Acts chapter 9, 22, and 26. Paul threw it out there whenever he had an opportunity. He never got over it. He was a missionary church planter. He also wrote a majority of the New Testament epistles. And of course, he got the gospel out to the Gentiles. This is a difference-making moment in the book of Acts. This is a defining moment in the early history of the church. You see, Paul, who even before he was saved, who was someone that was committed to his religion. Now, he was wrong. He was dead wrong. He was very religious. He was a leader. He was very zealous. But Paul, in his belief system, had some issues. He had the wrong beliefs. He was a murderer, murdering Christians, thinking he was serving God. Doing that, but it's all about the change. Paul is on his way to Damascus to continue his terrorizing of the early church and the early believers, and then God meets him on that road. We know the story. He meets the resurrected Christ and experiences the transforming grace of God in his life and the life of the early church, and to be real honest with you, the history of Christianity will be changed forever because of this event. And it's all because of God's grace. But what is God's grace? Well, in the experience of Paul, we can see the simple testimony of grace as it plays out in four parts. Let's look at the first part. Look at Acts chapter 9. We are going to review the madness of sin. The madness of sin. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, well, he went after everybody, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. You see, Paul was so deceived in what he believed, he thought he was doing God's service by persecuting Christians. And really, his problem wasn't with Christians. His problem was with Jesus Christ. But he was persecuting Christians. No matter how religious he was, no matter how zealous he was, Paul had it wrong. By the way, sometimes we say of people, and we'll get to that in a minute, you know, well, it doesn't matter what your beliefs are as long as you're sincere. Okay, you know you can be sincerely wrong? Doesn't matter. Now, you have a right to be wrong, and I have a right to be wrong. But sincerity doesn't cut it. And Paul, in all that he was doing, I guarantee you there was an empty spot. Because all he was doing was religious stuff. All he was doing was what, you know, he felt was the way to serve God. And he was completely wrong. And he was caught up in a life of sin. Now, not the life of sin that we would think of. But still, what Paul did was wrong, and it was sin. By the way, you know what grace is about? It's about revealing to us the nonsense of sin. Sin is madness. By the way, if we weren't sinners, Jesus wouldn't have had to come and die for us. But we were sinners, and we needed him. Bible tells us the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus' whole purpose was to come to die for our sins. And before grace can reach someone in the present, there has to be a careful examination of our past. For we will not come to Jesus Christ if we do not realize how bad and horrific and wrong sin is. We try to whitewash it in our society. We try to say that it's a person's choice. It's up to them. They decide, you know, we used to say they decide how they feel. Now they get to decide what they are. That's ridiculous. If I were to go into my garage tonight and sleep in my garage, and my wife came in here, and, well, she probably wouldn't care. But if she came in and said, "What are you doing sleeping in the garage?" and I'm going to say, "Because I identify as a car," she'd probably call somebody out on me. I would not identify as a Ford. At least I would be a car that doesn't need to be towed. No. What's the difference if I show up in a skirt at my house and say I identify as a girl? Oh, that didn't go over very well, but that's okay. We'll get over that one. We can't just say something and believe it's true. You say, why does our world believe all these I was going to say stupid, but you shouldn't say stupid. Idiotic things. Because sin is madness. Our world is falling apart and all that. Because we bought into sin. You say, five, six, 7 years ago, some of the things going on, we would have all said, what is going on? By the way, some of you are afraid to say something. Because you don't want to be shouted down. I'd rather be shouted down and be right if I'm on God's side. But it's like, how can people believe that? How can all this stuff be happening? Because of the madness of sin. That's what sin does. And this is what our church is trying to do. We're trying to reach this world with the good news of Jesus Christ by showing them the bad news of sin. Amen. Why is this world so wrong and going the wrong direction? Sin. Why do you feel sometimes that you have no purpose in your life? Sin. Why do you seem to go from problem to problem without ever seeing any solutions? Sin. Why is it that you struggle to feel close to God? Sin. Why is it that you feel bound to destructive attitudes, actions, and behaviors? Sin. Why is it that no matter what you do sometimes, no matter what you achieve, no matter how much you have, you still have no joy?
Yep.
Sin. Why do you struggle in the relationships in your life? Sin.
Yeah.
I hope you get the idea. Let me just make it real clear. Sin is not good.
Yeah.
It's not your choice.
Yep.
It's not how you were born.
Yeah.
It's not what you've decided to do. It's against God. And trying to live a life apart from God and trying to live a life doing your own thing doesn't work.
Yep.
Doesn't work.
Yep.
So the madness of sin, the grace of God shows us the madness of sin. But let's step on to the good point. The simple grace of God is also receiving the message of salvation.
Yep.
Acts chapter 9, let's look at verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice say unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That's really who he was after.
Yeah.
And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? You see, here Paul is going to meet Jesus Christ. He is not going to leave this just being religious. He is going to leave this knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved.
Yeah. Amen.
Why do we need to understand sin is so bad? So that we can understand our need of salvation and how good salvation really is.
Amen.
And if you've experienced salvation, you know that. I understand now salvation's not a feeling. But I'll tell you what, when I got saved, I felt good. Because God had been dealing with me about my sin for a couple years. And I knew I needed Christ. And I knew I needed to be saved. And I put it off. And that Sunday morning when I went to church and I came down the altar and someone took me out back and they told me the plan that I already knew and I trusted Christ, I felt good. Because sin stinks.
Yes, sir.
And hell was not a place I wanted to go.
No.
Man, I get upset when the air conditioner's not on. We were on vacation and we drove through some of the hotter states. We were in one state, we got something to eat. It was Vegas. We were not gambling. Well, okay, let me be honest. I wasn't gambling. I have no idea where my wife was. Just kidding. She did come back and say vacation's paid for. Just kidding. But we were on our way and we stayed the night there. We went to get something to eat. It's like 9:30 at night. And you know, we got out of the car and we stepped out. And I'm like, what happened? It was oppressive.
Yeah.
Like, do these people know it's like 10 o'clock at night? It should not be 95 degrees.
Yeah.
I get bitter when it gets 80. But you know what? It's not, it's salvation. It saved us from all of that.
Yeah.
It saved us from our sin now, in the present, in the past. It's all of it. There's no other way. You can't try harder to be good and make it to heaven. It won't work. You can't try living differently. It won't work. It's not by having some off-the-wall philosophy. It won't work. And this whole nonsense, self-affirmation, just if you believe it, stop. If you believe it, that doesn't make a difference. Salvation is the gospel, comes from the gospel, and the gospel is good news.
Yes, sir.
But can I just tell you something? The gospel is only good news if you accept it. You could hear it till you're blue in the face. You could know who Jesus is and tell us stories in the Bible about him. But if you've never accepted him as Savior, it doesn't do you any good. I still can't get over the day I got saved. That was the defining moment in my life. If nothing else ever happened in my life, I trusted Jesus Christ. If I never do anything good in my life, and it's not about me doing good, if nothing good ever comes from my life, at least I met Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Salvation. It's very important. Look, what is our building about? It's about getting the gospel out. Our building is a tool to get the gospel to those who do not know Jesus Christ and to train those who do know Jesus Christ to get out there and share the gospel with those who do not know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Very important.
Yeah.
The building is all about Jesus and the gospel.
Yep.
You know, people ask questions when pastors weren't in the building, and it's normal because you move into a new building, things change. They're like, was it hard to adjust to the building? It's like, no, we were meeting outside. It was pretty easy. I know this, the air conditioning in the building is a lot better than the air conditioning outside. Oh, it wasn't hard. It says, well, the spirit of the church, does that change? Thank God it hasn't, because you know some churches it does. And by the way, and I'm not being me, I harp on it. You know, I hate gum because I sit on the carpet. And I don't want it on carpet. And I hate glitter. People buy you Christmas gifts and cards and I get glitter. It's like, I don't even want it. Okay, that's a lie. I'll take it outside and open it and keep the gift. But it's like, I don't want you to make a mess in here.
Come on. Amen.
But can I just tell you something? I'd rather have a mess than have nobody come to church.
Yeah.
We take care of it, but we're not worshiping this building. This building is a tool to reach people with the gospel. If this building were just about being more comfortable, let me just say this. It was a waste of time. Thank you, and money too. If it's just about having a nice place to meet, waste of time. If it's about, if it's going to make us uppity that we do not want to go out and reach our community, waste of time. Well, you know, Pastor Myers, I'm concerned about the bus kids. Well, guess what? They're concerned about you.
Yeah.
You know, some of these teenagers and kids are running around. Listen, I don't want the kids running in the auditorium. And probably 10% chance they're one of my grandkids. It's like, excuse me for a second. Hey, cowboy, quit running. Okay, it's not about being uppity. Okay, we're doing our best to keep the building looking nice, but really it's a tool. We got to use a tool. Tools sometimes need to be adjusted. Let's not get all uppity now because we don't sit outside anymore during the service. La-dee-da.
Yeah.
I'd rather meet outside than get uppity.
Yep. Amen.
Because we gotta reach everybody. By the way, when I walked into church, they didn't say, well, look at that kid. He's got it together. First time I went to Sunday school, I went because they were giving away candy, and I was a holy terror. Every time the teacher said something, I said something opposite. Listen, we've got to get the gospel out.
Yep.
And if you're too comfortable in these chairs to get out in the community, I'll put tacks in them.
Come on.
Well, just get up and do something. The gospel's got to get out. That's what this building is. I hope this building is a simple testimony of the grace of God. But it leads to this. Number three, the retaining the method of salvation. In other words, and Paul misplaced zeal. He thought he was being obedient to the will of God by persecuting the church of God. But that changed. Now Paul had a clear view. As God started to work on him, you see how God changed his life and changed the whole path of his life. A man with a position, a man that was respected, had lost his position, and now he's being sought after and persecuted. But his life changed. Now, let me just say this. If you've been saved, God doesn't want you to get stuck there. Get up and go forward. Brother Johnson's message on Thursday was great. Friday night men's meeting was fabulous. Get up and go forward. Listen, I got saved and I wasted 2 years of my life doing nothing but getting in trouble. And I knew I was saved and God was dealing with me every single day. The things I used to get away with, now that I was saved, I got caught. The things that I had no conscience about that I would do, now it bothered me.
Yep.
But I thank God that God finally took, I'm dense, all right? Pray for me. After a while, God got a hold of me. I'm like, I gotta be serious about this thing.
Yes, sir.
And God started to work on my life and change my life. And by the way, he still is.
Amen.
Say, have you arrived? I can't even see the end from where I'm at.
Yeah.
I got a long way to go. By the way, don't get all pharisaical. You got a long way to go too.
Amen.
But don't just stay where you're at. You know, God's grace was so wonderful. Think about it. He didn't just save us and say, I'm done with you. He says, I got something better for you.
Yep.
I'm sure you understand what he's talking about when he says the abundant life. What's this building about? I'm just telling you, it's about helping people fulfill God's will for their life.
Yep.
You'll never be happy if you're not doing what God wants you to do.
Yep.
Never. So is that, it just means getting the word of God to start and start doing what it says.
Come on.
You can slip into church. You can be here every now and then and do this and do your little Godspeed and throw a couple bucks in the offering plate and go out and do your own thing. You're not going to be happy.
Yep. Amen.
God has so much more for us. We saw the little video, we saw the story in the Press Telegram, and one of the stories, it may have been that one, they wrote several about us many years ago. They wouldn't write anything about us today. They said, this building has, he goes, what we're trying to do in our church really has one theme, change lives. Change lives. I don't want you just to be, look, if I truly believe that the best life a person could live is a Christian life, why in the world would I want you to do that? We're not going to change what our church is to make people feel comfortable that have no desire for God. I'd be cheating you if I did that.
Yeah.
You find a good restaurant, what do? You share it with people.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I went to this great place. By the way, don't share your restaurants with me if they involve fish. I'd rather eat at McDonald's. I think you know how I feel about McDonald's. By the way, this has nothing to do with the message, but this is like, I feel like as a pastor, I should help you. I realize what Starbucks coffee is now. It's the McDonald's, Starbucks to coffee is what McDonald's is to hamburgers. Oh, wow, okay. All right, grab the stones and start throwing. I know if you like that sugary stuff, which isn't coffee, you probably are okay with Starbucks. I'm done. But anyhow, moving on with my life. I am so glad that God not only saved me, but God changed me. And aren't you glad God's trying to change you? You have a purpose in life. I had zero purpose. By the way, when I went to church, man, I had zero purpose. When it came to my future, I'm just like, I'm loving the Lord. Let's get involved. Here we go. And I loved it all. And my pastor's like, he sent me to Bible college because he knew that I had nothing going on.
Yeah.
And I went to Bible college and I didn't even have a purpose there. I'm like, okay, I'll go. And I had my Bible, and I had a pen, and I had a highlighter. I thought, I'm going to go to all the classes and just, you know, highlight my Bible, take notes. It's all good. And they're like, hey, you know, that doesn't work in English class. I don't know if you know that. You have to take notes. But you know, God started to formulate a purpose in my life. Hey, you're on this earth for something more.
Amen.
He gave me a way to change. Grace is really God's power to change your life.
Yeah.
See, we see grace as an excuse to do what we want. There's grace there to forgive us for our sin, but grace is not an excuse for you to go do whatever you want. I'm under grace. No, you're not. You're under the burden of sin. You want to live a better life? Start following the Bible and ask for God's help, and grace empowers you to be able to do that. And then lastly, the simple testimony of grace is recognizing the mission of service. Look at verse 15. So the Lord is explaining what he has in mind for Paul, for Saul. He says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, speaking of Saul or Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. You know, what he was saying is, you know what, you better help this guy Paul. I know you're scared to death of him because here I am asking you to help this guy, and he's the one that was killing Christians. And you're like, hold on, Lord, do you have this straight? God's like, I got it under control. I got something for him to do. He's gonna do work for me. And by the way, that's a natural outflow of being a Christian.
That's right. Amen.
You serve the Lord.
Yeah.
You serve the Lord. See, once we get over sin and we're saved, a lot of times we just sit there. God does nothing to work in our life because we don't allow him to.
Yep.
And we fight him when he tries to. And then sometimes we take that step and we don't want to do anything for him. I love what Brother Johnson said on Friday night. He said he was a new Christian. He walked into church and he said there was only one guy in the choir. He said after he'd been there, brand new Christian, didn't know anything. He just walked up to the pastor and said, I want to be in the choir. And the pastor said, can you sing? And he said, I want to be in the choir. By the way, that's what most of the people that when our choir gets going again, that's what you all said. Anyhow, that's why I don't sing in the choir. I can't sing a lick. I like to, but it's painful. And the pastor's like, okay. He said he was walking around. Boy, we need a couple of you to do this. He's walking around. He saw the buses driving. He went to the bus director and said, you need someone to do that? The bus director said, yeah, go get your license, and he did. He said that he was walking around in church, and he noticed new people that visited the church, and they're just standing there, and he's like, well, someone's got to talk to him. Yeah. See, you understand, he didn't have to have a calling. He just saw something needed to be done, and God's like, why don't you go do it? Listen, if we're going to serve and help our community, you know what we need to do? We need to be involved in the action of serving and helping.
Amen.
And I don't mean to harp on it, but this COVID complacency that's all over our country, we need to get over it.
Yeah.
It's one thing. Well, we went to a couple cities. We ended up in South Dakota and back to the farm. I mean, we were everywhere. I think we went through parts of 10 states. Everywhere I went, they're looking for people to work. No one wants to work anymore. By the way, has nothing to do with grace and the message, but go get a job.
Yeah,
amen. I'm not uncompassionate towards people that are homeless and have issues. Some of them have drug issues or whatever. But I have a really hard time now seeing someone who seems halfway, can breathe, asking for money. I'm like, look around you. There's 1,200 places hiring. No one wants to work anymore. By the way, once Uncle Sam quits printing money in the back room, you're going to need a job. You might as well get started now. You might be a boss. When McDonald's, not my favorite, is offering $200 signing bonus to work there to poison people in our community, something is wrong. It's all COVID nonsense. But let me just say this. It better not creep into the church. I don't want to have to put up drivers wanted for the buses, workers needed for the nursery. We're not doing that. And thank you, you do work. But I just enjoy sitting in church and enjoying the messages. Good. And here's the message. Get up and do something.
Yeah.
This didn't come about because everybody said, let's just pray and the drywall will hang itself. No, it won't. I did stuff in this building that I had no clue what I was doing, Brother Shumpert. I was clueless. Brother Ross, thanks for laughing. I appreciate that. We were up there. They taught how to, me and I think it was Chris McDermott, we were doing some of the metal studs. I don't know anything. I know zero. But they did say, now when you do the studs, there's got to be a certain amount of inches. We had a bunch of guys, they started on the hallway down there. And I don't know anything. And I'm like, those aren't right. And I got a tape measure out, and I'm like, according to what I was told to code, those aren't right. They were like halfway down.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if I went to Albert. I'm like, I think those guys are wrong. And sure enough, they were. They had to tear them down and move them back 6 inches. I didn't know anything. I still don't. But you know what? I could swing a hammer. I could use a thing. I can do whatever it is you tell me to do. Let's just do it. But let's serve the Lord. By the way, and I'll be done. When you don't serve the Lord, you're missing out on a whole bunch of joy.
Oh, yeah.
I was so excited about being a Christian in the early days, man. I hate it now. No, I still do now. But I'll tell you what, as I was growing as a Christian and doing all those things, when I started serving, man, my joy level just cranked up.
Yeah, amen.
And by the way, I never got over it. Now look, this church is about God's grace. It's about helping people understand that sin is awful, salvation is great, living for the Lord is wonderful, and serving Him is joyous. And it's all because of what He does. And by the way, we have our beliefs and all that. We're not changing anything, but we're not changing that. That's the message. That's what this community needs. You know all these idiotic political causes that are out there? I won't mention them because I'll make you upset on another day. You know why people get caught up in all these idiotic causes? They got nothing else to live for.
Yeah.
Nothing else. And by the way, they can't even explain what they believe.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is just blah, blah, blah. Well, have you ever seen it? Okay, thank you. But you know what? In Jesus Christ, we got good things going on. Grace. That's what this church is. It's always going to be about the gospel and not how it saves somebody, but how it changes somebody. And by the way, not just for this area, but for the world.
Right,
by the way, some of you young guys will say this, I'll be done. You need to get on board.
Yeah.
I have pastors call me all the time, like, we're looking for missionaries. We have more money than we have missionaries.
Yeah.
Do you have someone you can send to our church? We'll support them. I'm like, well, we got them on the field. Can you just like retroactively send it to them? Any people that are interested in serving the Lord in their church, and some of you young ones need to do it somewhere else. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for just a minute. Every head bowed and every eye closed.